Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. This is the show where we affirm the value and the fun of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. We have a lovely guest today. Her name is Maureen Boyd Biro. She's a dreamer from way back and a very gifted dreamer. She helps people to understand what gifts dreaming can bring us. She's a writer and she's written some very interesting things fueled by dreams and can help you to do that. She's a speaker. And part of her story, which is very moving and I think very important for us all to hear more about, is her dream adventure with her mother during the period when her mother had Alzheimer's. And she discovered that even when communication had become hard, if not impossible in ordinary terms, they could communicate in their dreams. And in our time, the time we are in, when so many of us are coping with age and people who are getting elderly and perhaps becoming impaired, it's very important to understand that dreaming can help us to find a road through difficult relations, a road around problems in ordinary communications. Maureen, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Robert. I'm always thrilled to have a chance to speak with you, and it's such an honor to be here today.
Well, I've had great fun sharing dreams with you and doing some dream work over the years in many different locations. Tell our listeners about your relations with dreaming. I mean, as far back as you care to go, I mean, the origin of your passion and also your ability to bring creative gifts from the dream world.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
Right. I'll slow down. Tell us the origin of your passion for dreaming. Tell us about the creative gifts you've brought from your dreams, going as far back as you like.
Well, it really was my journey with my mother that put me on the path of dream work. But that connection started way back in childhood. I discovered just inadvertently that my mother and I mutual dreams. And so the precedent was there. Way back, I think I was 11 or so, when my grandfather passed away, my mother said, my mother woke up one morning and shared a dream with me of him visiting her. And it was exactly the same dream that I had. So that probably laid the groundwork very early. And I followed a path of writing, which to me is dreaming awake. But when my mother became ill, dreams came calling in a huge way, huge, huge way, and really transformed my life, career, and everything.
Let's pause for a moment on that early dream of your grandfather. Your grandfather was already deceased when your mother and you dreamed of him that way? Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, it was shortly after he passed away, and my mother and I were both grieving, and I had a lovely dream visit from my grandfather. It was very short. It had all the hallmarks of a real visit, and it was identical to the dream my mother shared with me the next morning, and I suddenly realized, oh, we had the same dream. Noni, that's what I called my grandfather, came to see both of us. And I just assumed everybody could do this, did this, because I didn't have any other reason to think otherwise.
Yes, yes. Well, this is beautiful and so important, and so many people need to hear this and want to hear it, Maureen, because one thing that our dream psychologists haven't done very well is to tell us what ordinary dreamers everywhere generally know and what our ancestors mostly knew which is that dream visitations may be absolutely for real. You know, Grandpa isn't necessarily a symbolic figure or simply an aspect of the dream. It might be Grandpa making a call, making a visit, to show everybody that things are well and that there's still love and that communication is possible. And when that kind of visitation is shared between two members of a family, it's hard not to doubt it. It's hard to doubt it when it's shared by two family members. But, you know, our talking classes haven't done a very good job confirming for ordinary dreamers what many of them know, that, you know, we can visit our departed and they can visit us. And from that, of course, can come love and healing and comfort and also assurance that something of soul or self survives physical death. So that one moment in itself is precious, isn't it? And that would be a very good sign along the road of life to continue dreaming. So you're 11 or so when that took place, and you and your mother clearly had a relationship as dreamers back then. And then when life got difficult for her, your relationship of dreamers as dreamers became very helpful for both of you, didn't it?
It did. It was such a shock when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. We really weren't expecting that, even though I knew that something was wrong. And right from the beginning, she began coming to me in dreams. She lost language very early in her illness. She had severe aphasia. She lived with Alzheimer's for nearly 16 years. But she lost language really fully by the third year, but not in dreams. In dreams, she would come to me. She would often bring a message in song. She would show me what her experience was like from the inside, which was very different from what was happening on the outside. And I was completely astonished and fascinated, and it was deeply healing because it is a difficult journey in the best of circumstances. But these were guideposts, these dreams, and it was a beautiful way for her to communicate in silence.
Did it influence how you regulated and managed things in the physical world? I mean, did it give you ideas for things that she might need or things that might be helpful that you might not otherwise have thought about?
Absolutely. My sister was my mom's primary caregiver. I helped with caregiving. Most of us did in the beginning years. But it got to be something we relied on. If there was something my mother couldn't communicate, she would show me in a dream or tell me or sing it to me, and I would communicate this with my sister. And my sister came to just ask me, what are you dreaming about, Mom? I feel that something's amiss, or I have a question. And so the three of us were able to communicate this way.
So you remained the communicator throughout, or was your sister also drawn in? Was your sister also able to communicate with Mom this way?
Yes, to a degree. I'm one of seven daughters. My mom had seven daughters. So it's a lot of intense female energy, and several of us are vivid dreamers. So it was a shared experience with some sisters. And even those that weren't directly dreaming of our mom, my mother would bring messages for them. So it brought us together in a very profound way, very healing way.
So in what kinds of dream encounter were you meeting your mother? Were these initially spontaneous sleep dreams where she appeared? Were there lucid dreams? You're in that floaty state between sleep and awake. Were you able to incubate a dream, perhaps in the sense of setting a question or an intention to talk about something with your mother? Tell us about the kind of states you were in when you had these meetings with Mom in Dreamland.
They really run the gamut. And the ones that stand out, there were often two of my mother. What I would think of as her ordinary human self, or her little Alzheimer's self, and then her greater self. And the greater self would be enormously tall, and they would sometimes switch places in a dream. So I would put those dreams in a lucid-ish category because I knew I was in an extraordinary state, and I would just see this greater mother and know it was going to be that type of dream. And, oh, my goodness, some of those dreams. I recall one, maybe midway through my mother's illness, when we met in this just a non-corporeal fluid space, nothing around us. And they switched places, and my little mom went off, and the greater mom stayed with me. And after a little while, the little mom came back, and she was glowing, radiant, and she held her arms out, palms up, and she told me, "I'm holding Jesus in my hands." And the greater mom held her arms out, and I instinctively did the same thing. And there was just this infusion of peace and joy that it was so hard to feel in waking life, but I carried with me because it was so all-encompassing, like just being filled with grace.
Wow, this is so exciting, Maureen, and so beautiful. And greater mom, how did she resemble little mom or ordinary mom, and how was she different?
That's a great question, Robert. And like I said, she would represent this just enormously tall being. So really, her face was so high above me, it was indistinct. But her energy was something I would always recognize. And it was that energy that clued me in each time. So nothing specific in the appearance beyond that, just, I guess, a sense of light and that deep, deep sense of grace. And I felt that with my mother, my actual mother in waking life, when we would just sit in silence, and it progressed to where I didn't need to be asleep to experience this. I got so used to being in silence with her and having these dream experiences that it would just flow naturally into waking life.
Did you notice a change in your mother and her mood or her behavior following these dreams? I mean, did she seem different in the wake of one of these encounters?
Absolutely. You know, my mother could communicate so much with just her eyes. And silence is a form of communication, too.
Yes.
And she would just, you would just feel that you were in the presence of grace when you were with her. And what would really help, what would facilitate that was music. I often sang to her because she loved music, and so often in dreams, she sang to me.
And she liked the Lavender song, right? Lavender's Blue Dilly Dilly?
Yes, she did. She often used lullabies, like childhood lullabies.
Yes.
And the lyrics of the song, Lavender's Blue, it was a song she often sang. I remember her singing it to all my younger sisters and to me and to my children. And, you know, lavender's blue, dilly dilly, lavender's green, or lavender's green, dilly dilly, lavender's blue. If you love me.
If I were king, dilly dilly, you'd be my queen.
And I will love you. And I love to dance, dilly dilly. I love to sing. So,
yeah, it's very moving. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Are you there?
Yes, it went very deep and silent for a moment, right after you talked about how silence is a language.
It is.
I think everything was picking up on your words. And has your dream relationship with Mom continued since she passed?
I'm sorry, what was that? It went silent
on me? Has your dream relationship with Mom continued since she passed?
Oh, yes. I will say, because she lived with Alzheimer's for so long, she was really ready to go when she left. And she, oh, my goodness, what a farewell dream after she had passed. The one that stands out was a dream where I'm standing in my family room with my husband and grown daughter and son, and the shadow of a bird flies over our heads. And we all know it's my mother. We don't see the bird. We just see the shadow. And then the actual bird appeared and again flew over our heads, pausing over each of us. And when my mother's as this great silver bird paused over me, it was like a curtain opening or a reality opening. And I knew I was seeing into heaven, for lack of a better term. And I knew I was seeing it like a rapid speed film in a way that I could translate. And as I was seeing this, it was like having all of this downloaded into me. And it was just the most wonderful gift, the beautiful way of showing me she was flying on.
What a powerful and wonderful, wonderful, inspiriting image, the bird, the silver bird, flying off in that way. Have you seen her since then? And if so, does she show herself in a human guise, and does she look different?
Yes, I've had dream visits. She is always in pink, usually wearing roses. That's often how she appeared, younger, healthy.
Yes.
Right. And the dream visits are usually very short. When my son got married, she popped in for one of those visits. She had already passed away. And they became shorter. It's been 6 years since she passed away now. So I'm often aware of her presence. My sister just had triple bypass surgery just in October. And the day of her surgery, I was meditating and praying for her. And suddenly I was in the operating room, and I could see both of my parents standing in the room. My sister was floating over her body at that time. It was an intense surgery, but I knew my mother was there and sending grace and light, and she did get through the surgery. And later we compared stories, and we had similar experiences.
Always a good thing to have someone watching over you in hospital if you're undergoing surgery or anesthesia. And it's wonderful to think that your mother was playing that watchful guardian role. Maureen, what would you say to other people who are facing the challenge of assisting a family member who has Alzheimer's or dementia? Based on your experience, what can you tell them that they might do based on what you learned that could be helpful?
Oh, there are so many things, but narrowing this down, the first one is to trust that not all is as it seems on the outside. This was a consistent message that I got and something that I came to know is very true. And it's so difficult because you are grieving. You are watching someone suffer. It's a difficult thing to witness. You want to help. You want to change it. But so much of the journey is accepting that it needs to be what it's going to be. But there is more than is apparent on the outside. So that is one thing that I would I would want people to just embrace that, open yourself to that awareness and trust that you don't know everything here, and it's a journey that will unfold in its own way. I think it's important to reach out, have a support network, have someone to talk to about all of these things, and including the more spiritual inner aspect of the journey. And on a practical level, I would say to turn to your dreams and ask for guidance, always. And I know you're a big believer in that, Robert.
This is wonderful, practical, lovely advice. Of course, lots of us in our society are not doing much with dreams, not talking about them, not recalling them, not recording them, etc. So some people listening might be thinking, well, that's great, but Maureen's talking about meeting Mom in dreams, and I'm not in touch with my dreams. How could I change that? If I'm really worried about someone, could I begin to change it by setting an intention to make contact with that person in awareness? Is that how we might begin? Given a strong intention, maybe the dream source would open up.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge believer in setting intentions.
We're talking to Maureen Boyd-Biro. We're about to take a break. If you want to find her, and I suggest you go look for her, because she's really a wonderful, wonderful coach for dreaming and for dream-inspired writing, and she's published some things that you'll want to read. LyricalDreaming.com, LyricalDreaming.com, because she's a lyrical person. So we'll be back after the break to talk more with Maureen about how to use dreams in the game of life and how to use dreams to get us and our families through difficult situations. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knott. Back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world. And now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3 DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our lovely guest is Maureen Boyd-Biro. She's told us some very helpful, moving, and practical things about how to use the dreaming our ability to put ourselves into a different state of consciousness during sleep, in lucid dreams, in drifty states of reverie, how to use that ability to shift consciousness to communicate with people who may not be able to communicate very well, if at all, in ordinary reality. She's told us from the heart with great candor about her experience of looking at trying to help her mother over nearly 16 years of Alzheimer's, when her mother basically couldn't speak but could sing and speak in dreams and could convey wishes and ideas in dreams. Maureen, I want to tell you a brief story from my life. When I first started teaching dream work, dreaming and dream work publicly, of course I've done it since my earliest childhood, when I first started teaching in public, one of the first groups that I worked with was a group of 22 nurses in a teaching hospital. I was teaching a little course which was going to be part of their qualification for their master's degrees, and it was supposed to be about philosophy, but I discovered they wanted to know the really good stuff, like what happens after death and what is the soul, so I really turned it into a course on dreaming and visioning, and taught them how to journey shamanically with the drum. And one of the nurses came and reported what she had done. She was looking after a man in a coma who'd be generally described as being in a vegetal or vegetative state, which he didn't like very much, he told her. She put her mind in a place where she could meet him, where his mind was intact. I think she did this actually by journeying with a drumming recording, but it's a form of dreaming. So she put herself with him in a space where he could communicate. And he told her several things. He said, first of all, would you please tell the hospital staff and everybody else to stop talking about me as if I'm not in the room? They don't seem to understand that I can hear them. I'm aware of their presence. And he said, and secondly, you know, it would be nice to have a little view. I mean, for however many days I've got left, couldn't they arrange to put me in a space with a window where I can see a tree or something for the time that remains for this body? And thirdly, you know, they have this horrible music in the hospital. I'd love to hear some music that I actually like. Like what, says the nurse. He named three pieces of classical music. Apparently he's a classical music buff. So she goes to work with us. She tells the people in the hospital, family and staff, look, be careful what you say around him. He might be able to hear you. Just watch it. Don't call him a vegetable or whatever you're saying about him. And she says to the family, look, maybe the hospital can be helpful, give you a discount, but maybe you can spring for a shared room with a window, with a view of some trees for the time he's got left. Nobody knew how much time he had, by the way. Didn't know what he wanted. Didn't know what he intended. Didn't know how long he'd been on the life support. No information. And she says to the family, and finally, you know, I think he'd like some of his music. They say, like what? She names the three classical pieces, and they say, oh, how did you know? So that's his favorite music. I can't recall whether she said I dreamed it or something like that, or just left it mysterious. However, all these things were done. They watched their mouths while they were around the man in the coma. They moved him so he had a view of a tree, which he could see, of course, in his second body, if not in his primary body. And they played his music. And 3 days later, he left. He was getting ready to go, but he wanted to have some respect and some comfort, you know, and some acknowledgement that he was a person and not, you know, not a turnip, before he checked out. And she was able to do that by doing what you did with your mother, by putting her mind in a space where he could communicate, even though that was not possible under ordinary circumstances. I found that story incredibly encouraging, just as I find your story incredibly encouraging. We can do these things. We have ways of communicating beyond the ordinary, and what is required is that we are open to a shift in awareness. And what we discover at the end of it all, perhaps, is something you spoke about beautifully earlier on. We discover that we're not just body and brain. Consciousness exceeds the body and brain, survives the body and brain. That's one of the things we learn from experiences like the one you had as a child with your grandfather, isn't it? When you dream of someone who's departed and he comes through so clearly, and someone else can confirm it, well, then you know, you have first-hand knowledge that soul or consciousness is not restricted to the body and brain and doesn't die with the body or brain. Maureen, I'd love to do a little bit of dream play with you. We call it dream work, but it's really such play. Would you be willing to have a go at maybe sharing a dream back and forth and giving each other some feedback?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
You want to go first? Do you have a dream report you'd like to share with me? We might have to break partway through the process and start again. So actually, let's withdraw that suggestion for now, and let's start at the beginning of the next segment so we don't actually have to interrupt ourselves.
Sure.
So let me put it back to you. I said a number of bold things about awareness, consciousness, getting to understand firsthand that soul survives death. What other thoughts or experiences do you have in this whole area? It's so very important for people to understand that there is something more, and that we have ways of accessing it and exploring it.
Oh, goodness. It's something that I've come to just embrace and appreciate in waking life, that this is possible. It takes attention, and it takes believing that this is so. And this is something I used to do with my mother, because we live several hours apart, and I was often, you know, not able to be with her. And I learned to find her in my mind. And initially, I was just trying to do this to see if I could peer in on her, just be with her for a moment. And I could check with my sister, who took care of her, what was Mom doing, what was she wearing. So I learned that this was something that came very readily to me. And so I regularly set aside a time to have a cup of lemon tea with my mother. It was something she loved to do, and I would just get quiet, bring her into my heart, find her in whatever physical space she was in, but it was more like a meeting of our spirit to spirit. But we would sit and share a cup of lemon tea. And it was something that became effortless for me. I just would slip into that space with her. And I highly recommend doing that. During 2020, we were very separated. That was an invaluable thing to know how to do, to be able to be with my loved ones who were far away. And that's
a cup of lemon tea. That's so inspiring. I can smell it. I don't drink much tea, but the tea I do like is lemon tea. So I'm with you on that one. And I'm thinking, I often suggest to people who are maybe a bit frustrated because they haven't made contact with departed loved ones, or what have contact with a loved one at a distance, but don't have the dreaming down yet or aren't remembering the dreams, I say to them, well, just make a little, you know, informal altar in the corner. All it needs to be is a little table or a corner of a table. You put out tea and cookies or whatever the person you want to contact would enjoy. And you just imagine they're there. And if you want to do more than just have a sort of soft, fuzzy sense of presence, you get ready to have a conversation and write down what you receive. And it's amazing how that simple suggestion often pays off, isn't it? Because, you know, we are within reach of each other. I mean, to think of someone might be immediately to touch them in some sense. Well, we're talking
Absolutely.
To Maureen Boyd-Biro about such good things, and she has such good counsel to offer. When we come back, we'll do what I started to introduce a moment ago. We'll do a little bit of dream play. Maureen's going to tell me a dream, and if there's time, I might tell her a dream, and we'll give feedback to each other in the ways that we find helpful, and it will all lead, hopefully, to some kind of entertainment and maybe some kind of creative action. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. You can find Maureen at lyricaldreaming.com. Back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
All right, this is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. It's time to work and play with a dream. And Maureen Boyd Bureau just happens to have one, fresh from this morning. You're on, Maureen. What have you got?
Okay, so I actually set an intention for guidance for today because this is my birthday. And
yes, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. So a significant date, and it happens to be the full blood moon lunar eclipse and election day in America. So
yes.
Lots of energy. So I set an intention for guidance and grace for this day. And I have this dream. I'm going to concentrate on just this last scene, but Walt Disney, the actual Walt Disney, was presiding over an event, and at the end of this event, I was walking or driving away, and there's this very unusual sort of hybrid vehicle. The front half of it is yellow, similar to the cab of a truck, very high off the ground, and the back half, connected by a small cable, is something like a round trailer. But those are very vague descriptions. And that part of the vehicle is white. And all of a sudden, I know this vehicle, which is not going very fast, is going to slip over. And it does. And I rush over to see if the driver needs help. And I know it's a woman, but I really can't see her. I just see something hunched over. But she's injured. And I call out for someone to call for an ambulance. And so I know help is coming. And all of a sudden, as I'm watching, this woman transforms. She goes from being a vague, indistinct figure to what I can best describe her as a tiny dancer, tiny ballerina, like you would have in a music box or a snow globe, but not real. You know, she completely transforms, and it's a process of reanimation. Even though she seemed like a human, and now she's like a figure, but she's alive, and she's so tiny. And I know she couldn't possibly be driving this big vehicle that is flipped over now, but it just seems to right itself, and she's just poised there. And I'm hearing that wonderfully tinkly piano music from the song Tiny Dancer, Elton John's song. And that's the dream.
Yeah.
And it was an astonishing thing to witness, this magical transformation, reanimation. And Walt Disney was sort of presiding over the entire dream.
Okay, that's it.
That's the dream. That is.
What's the title of the dream, Maureen?
My quick title is Walt Disney Presides Over an Event, An Astonishing Tiny Dancer Reanimates.
Okay. So what are your first feelings coming out of the dream?
Astonishment. was just so a sense of surprise and wonder.
All right. What do you recognize from the dream and the rest of your life? Did you say the yellow front part of the vehicle was like a bus, like a school bus? Is that what you said?
More like the cap of a truck or the front of a car, but very high off the ground.
Okay.
Yellow is a color I associate with mother, and the back part was white. And it was a hybrid.
Well, you know Tiny Dancer, you know the song, and
you know something
about ballerinas and tap dancers, etc. What else? Is there anything in the dream, either the setting, the landscape, or the strange elements of the vehicle, anything else in the dream that reminds you of anything else in your life, either in the physical world or in the world of your dreams and imagination? Anything else that's familiar?
You know, I've been reflecting on the dream since I woke up this morning, and I was thinking how like the experience I had with my mother this was. If I condensed it into this one scene, she lived in two worlds, and everything flipped over when she got sick. It was like having my life turned upside down, going down that Disney rabbit hole into a fantastical space where things happened in a way that was extraordinary. And I often saw my mother as someone very tiny in her illness, and then, of course, this greater self. So this tiny dancer who can't possibly be in control of this vehicle, but is, writes it, it reminded me of that experience and how it felt like I was a figure inside a music box.
That's really very interesting. So is it possible that any elements in the dream, symbolically, could manifest in the future? Something beyond what you already know? That something could flip over and that some kind of reanimation could be possible in life?
Yes. In fact, I'm supposed to travel later today.
You are, aren't you? So
yes.
What's your question about the dream? What are you most curious about?
I guess the guidance. That, you know, I asked for guidance, and specifically was thinking of healing and hope, because there is so much energy. So I'm thinking, look at what might turn upside down, and what I need to hold on to from the image of this driver that seems injured, who's suddenly a tiny dancer, a ballerina, something magical, almost a fairy.
Yeah. Well, if it's my dream, I'm ready for the magic. I'm also, on a very practical, literalistic level, going to watch out for a vehicle whose front part might resemble the yellow truck. If I'm driving on the road today or any day in the foreseeable future, and the dream doesn't feel to me like particularly a premonitory dream, but nonetheless, dreams do coach us for what lies ahead on the road in a literal sense. So I'm going to be on the alert for a vehicle that might look like this one. I'm really charged up in a positive sense by the idea that if something is turned inside out and upside down, something good may come out of it, something may revive with music, with special effects. I think you said it felt like Walt Disney was overseeing the whole thing. And if I had that sense, I feel that my dream producers, you know, have pulled a few new tricks this time. I mean, this is one of those movie-like dreams put together for me. Thank you. If it's my dream. By my own Walt Disney production company, my personal cinematic production company. And to maybe reassure me that the things that look small can be the heart of everyday magic. The tiny bit reminds me of a dream shared with me yesterday. A woman whose birthday was recently and whose mother's death day was the same day. And she dreamed of a scene in which her mother, she was showing her mother beyond this life, which involved going through a tiny, tiny door. She kept saying tiny, tiny, 2 inches high. And her mother said, I'm ready, rushed through the door, and she saw her mother shooting off heavenward through the tiny door and understood that the tiny door in that dream was the fontanelle, you know, the top of the head, where some people think that spirit might come and go. So I feel, for me, the dream is charged with spirit, and I'm going to be happy to carry its energy with me. You're a writer, you're a creative person, Maureen. Is there any creative action you might take to honor the dream and carry its energy with you?
Oh, I think it's basic to be a story. I feel there's a children's story in there. Walt Disney certainly brings that to mind.
Walt Disney certainly thinks so. All right, we're going to have to take another break. We're with Maureen Boyd-Bureau. We're doing some dream play now. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We're really having a very good time with Maureen Boyd-Bureau. She's such good value, and her stories of dreams and helping another through Alzheimer's with their dream relationship is so practical as well as so moving. Maureen, I'm going to share a fairly brief dream report with you, if that's all right.
I would love to hear it.
The title is The Plunge, Plunge, and the Bounce. The Plunge and the Bounce.
The Plunge and the
Bounce. Bouncing. Up and down.
Bounce. Oh, dance. Okay.
Okay. It goes like this. I decide to take the big leap. The place of leaping is not a physical locale. So I'm jumping and I'm diving, but it's not the physical reality, and I'm perfectly aware of this in the dream. I dive into golden light. I fall for miles and miles, and then I have a twinge of fear and regret. But I know it's too late for second thoughts now, and there are fresh adventures ahead. The golden light is turning to amber, darkening slowly. Below me, around me, silky soft surfaces move like veils or waves of honey. As I move with them and through them, there is a sensation of a tremendous bounce, bouncy, bouncy, big bounce. Now I'm in a quite different scene, talking to lots of people. When I mention that I've just died and come back, I tell them. They take this in their stride. They talk about their own agendas. A social lady wants to arrange a lottery. Rich Texans are planning a business deal with Cuba. My house now is somewhat familiar. Looks like a former home, but gone to seed. Terrace is in poor repair. Across the broken slabs and fallen leaves, I see my beloved black dog who died many years ago. I call to him in joy. I bounce out of the dream in excellent spirits. 4 o'clock, have a report on my phone. Okay, that's the summary, Maureen. In the dream, I die and come back. I tell people about it. They take it in their stride. No one's surprised. Do with it what you will.
Well, my first question is, do you have a particular question about the dream?
I wonder how often this goes on. I mean, I'm quite certain But I died in the dream and came back. And people are often asking me, can I die in dreams and come back? So I guess I'm wondering about, I guess I'm very interested in the appearance of my beloved black dog. He's been appearing a lot recently. I suppose I'm wondering whether this is a rehearsal for death in the relatively near future. I suppose I'm curious about that.
And I'm also curious, excuse me, about the color amber, because that was very highlighted in the dream. You went from this golden light into amber. Do you have a particular association to amber?
Oh, yes, I love amber. And when I was used to teach in the Baltic, which I did quite a lot, I was given pieces of Baltic amber, and I understood the deep spiritual meaning of amber, sometimes as a soul container. A container, literally a container for aspects of the soul that survives death. I mean, they used to bury some important people or some aspect of their spirit in amber. So, and I met people of amber on the spiritual level. So amber has all sorts of positive associations for me. And I spent a weekend with a wood witch who showed me the uses of amber and honey, which are related visually, at least in that tradition. So that all has very positive meaning for me.
So if this were a physical, a rehearsal for a physical death, symbolic death or otherwise, what would I want to have happen in the interim? That would be one of my questions if this were my dream. And I focus on the idea of fresh adventures that just leaps out from the dream report. And I'm curious about the dog that was very beloved. And I wonder what a dog would be saying to me. You know, they speak to us so deeply. So I'm curious about that and maybe needing that kind of companion at this time in my life, if it were my dream.
Yes, the black dog, his name was Kipling. He was killed. Oh. He was killed the night before Halloween back in 1986. And he was with me, with us, very closely for the year after his death until I did a ritual to release him to make sure he wasn't staying because he felt he was bound to. Since then, the black dog resembling him has been a guide for me in dreams and in other ways in my life. This year, in several dreams, not only this one, he's turned up very specifically as Kipling again, not just the generic black dog, but as Kipling, the dog I loved. And he's turned up as a guide. He's turned up in shamanic journeys I've made. He's turned up in spontaneous dreams. And when he turns up, I always know it's important. And I also know that the boundary between death and life has been erased. And I know that I'm with the dead or I'm with the living, and it's really pretty much all the same. There is really no boundary that is not completely porous. So I'm always happy to see him. And I always wonder, where are we exactly now in the trajectory of life and death? So it's a happy dream in the sense I came, bounced back, feeling full of vim and full of energy. But it's got its shadows, hasn't it?
It does. And that's always the part you want to explore.
Yes, absolutely.
That diving deeper. What a great image. Just going deeper and deeper, and yet knowing it's not even a division. It's just one awareness or another, that boundary we call death. Do you have any other questions?
For that, I guess, but I'm not a stranger to the idea of dying and coming back. I mean, my spiritual memoir is called The Boy Who Died and Came Back, because I was pronounced clinically dead when I was 3 years old. So this has been going on for a long time. And the little death, I mean, in a very literal sense, I mean, the sense of that things stopped and then you came back and you were at an exit ramp and then you came back from it. I've had that impression many, many, many times in my life. And sometimes it's been accompanied by a near physical experience of dying or being killed. So it's not a new situation for me. And sometimes going through it, whether it's a dream or in some other sense in life, has a reanimating quality, to borrow a word from your own dream discussion, to know that we can bounce back from that, and that the death is with us all the time and is not a dread, but a prod maybe to action. I mean, that's part of the way that I've lived all my life.
is, and that's a powerful memoir. That's one of my favorite of your books. It's moving, and it's so insightful. It's one that made a huge impression on me when I read it. And thank you for writing it.
Thank you. Thank you. So, if this were your dream, is there anything else that you would want to know or do as a result of the dream?
In my dream?
If this were your dream, is there anything else you would want to do about it?
Well, again, I keep going back to the dog because it feels like there's some energy there, some connection that's important to me that I need to feel again or feel more deeply, especially since this dog, Kipling, shows up in important dreams for me. So
thank you for flagging that, Maureen, because I now know exactly what I need to do. Kipling gave me very clear guidance on a certain path to take out of various choices in this world, in this life. I guess I just have to follow his lead. So thank you for that. We've been talking to Maureen Boyd Bureau. LyricalDreaming.com is her website. We'll be back to say thank you and dream on after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Maureen, thank you so much for sharing your birthday with us.
Very happy to.
I hope you have the dreamiest of days, and I hope that this fresh year in your life will be one in which you'll know abounding joy and creative energy.
Well, I wish the same for you, Robert. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure
to
meet you.
All right. Well, to everybody, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.